Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. It is Tuesday, and you know what that means.
I do. It's a new King of Queens on CBS.
It is. Another episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. How was your week, Jeff?
My week was good.
Okay.
I feel like now, though, I'm starting to get like a little bit of a cold, so not super thrilled about that. But we're talking about last week, though. Last week was great.
Last week was
great. How was your week?
It was great. Here's something I don't know if the listeners have noticed. For whatever reason, over the last, let's say, 2 months, there have been, no matter when we record during the day, morning, noon, or night, there's been a constant flurry of emergency vehicles passing by our apartment building.
Yeah, people think that we live in a bad neighborhood.
Maybe we do now. Like, I don't know if there's, like, fires all around, like this is the Bronx in the 1980s or something like that, but this is just too much. It happens in this episode, too.
I feel like people need to start looking at us as survivors.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're really out here in South Harlem, and it's just tough. You know,
it's a war zone.
Sometimes the Whole Foods doesn't open until 10.
I don't know what it is, and it's not something we can, like, consciously avoid either. That's the issue. So we invite people over, and then whether we have, like, a window open or a window closed, it doesn't matter.
No.
And I get that that's part of, like, the experience.
It's the charm. The charm of It's the Real is that there's always a fire going on.
Now, I think people are going to think, if there's no siren, then something is wrong. Like, it's almost like the opposite of what it should be.
Yeah.
At this point, if there's no siren, be concerned, people. Anyway, Jeff.
Yes.
Who do we have on the podcast today?
Today, we have Mayor Hawthorne and Jake One.
Together. Known as?
Tuxedo.
So they are Tuxedo.
Yeah.
It's not just Mayor Hawthorne.
No.
And it's not just Jake One.
No. They were wearing matching Tuxedo sweatshirts, which I thought was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Although, you know, if you're going to come in here with coordinated swag, you really need to toss some our way.
I was just glad that they weren't wearing those stupid t-shirts with the Tuxedo printed on it.
No, I think that would have been a dope move.
It actually said, it's just the sweatshirt that said Tuxedo.
Yeah, in sequence.
Tuxedo is the name of the group. The album is called 2, like the Roman numeral 2.
Yeah, just like Boyz II Men did.
And it is all that I've been listening to for maybe the last week since we've known that they were going to come on the podcast. And it's amazing. No, it's really awesome. Like, I didn't know that the project was out necessarily.
Yeah.
But I promise you, it's my favorite thing going on right now.
It's basically like 80s funk got redone.
Okay.
I
dig it. Like, who were some of the people that we mentioned during this podcast?
Bernard Wright. We didn't talk about Cameo, but it sounds like Cameo.
Very Cameo. So we talk about this project, but we also talk about individually these guys' musical experiences, and that's Snoop Dogg, that's Rick Ross.
That's fucking Pitbull.
Pitbull. All right, so we get into Pitbull very early, but there's a lot in this podcast. Give it a listen, and then rewind it and listen to it again, because it's so great. Shout out to Jake One, who is a listener of this podcast. Great dudes. We had a lot of fun. When should we get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Rolling Loud, a.k.a. Power Wheels.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. In My Bag, a.k.a. TSA Agent.
And it's Jake Uno.
This is Mayor Hawthorne. You guys just came in extremely hot.
Yeah, this is a waste of time with the real.
Guys, how are you?
We're great, man. Still on West Coast time.
I feel you brought like
real
that
foggy.
Well, yeah, you brought that Seattle weather yesterday.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of that.
Oh yeah, he gets blamed every
time. I don't
time.
Like when it rains anywhere when I leave home. I want it to rain every day I'm gone and be sunny when I go home.
Oh man, it's your fault.
Yeah,
and it's pretty much my fault everywhere it's we go. Your fault.
You're a Seattle native, though,
for sure. Yeah,
so you're used to it at this point.
Yeah, and you know, there's things, you know, we don't bring out umbrellas and shit like that. Like, you're kind of a hoe if you bring out the umbrella. Like, we just don't respect that.
I was telling a friend the other day, I went to Woodstock 99, right? And there was one night where it was, like, Metallica and, like, Limp Bizkit and some other, like, hard rock band or whatever.
Korn?
Maybe. You know, it's a time and place, yeah. Right? And before I went there, like, you know, I was young, and my mom was like, take a poncho. And I was like, okay. And, like, the sky opens up during, like, Metallica, and I'm, like, so quick with the poncho, put it on, and all of my friends led, like, the waves of laughter, which continued like far and wide. And I took it off and got soaked like a little idiot. Now I'm smart enough to like, I wouldn't give a fuck, you know, and just like wear that.
Yeah, be proud of your poncho.
That's your poncho game, right?
Everybody else is fucking up.
Yeah.
Before we get to your new project, which is so awesome, guys.
Thank you.
Like,
thank
it's you so, much. so good. I want to talk about one song from your first project.
Yeah.
Pitbull got on. And, like,
the bull.
How did that happen?
Dale.
Dale. Yeah. That's what we like to call it. But, very strangely, and I'm glad nobody's ever asked us this, which is funny.
Because this is the only thing we want to talk about.
Yeah. No, what's good about it.
We can talk about it all day.
We were talking about this the other day.
We think it's amazing.
Like, yeah. Yo, by the way.
He put out a version of our song, and ours was bigger, which is so fucking weird.
It's
we wanted his shit to be a smash.
I know,
we already had the tuxedos.
We did get platinum plaques off of that, though.
We did.
That's awesome.
I got a plaque for global warming.
Global warming.
You sound such confident.
That's like my favorite one, because, like, you know, I have a bunch of them, but like that one's like Pitbull. What the fuck? You know, like nobody expects me to have that. So it's kind of like a good little conversation
piece.
It's
a great piece just to have in your bathroom at the home.
So that basically came together. We put out three songs on SoundCloud, just testing the waters for this whole thing. And somehow we got a message. Yeah. I don't know who got the message. It wasn't
on
me.
On SoundCloud?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think so. It was like one of his engineers or something like that. One of his people.
Pitbull loves this shit.
They didn't know it was us either.
They didn't know who, you know, they were just he found a new thing.
At the time, I think we hadn't even told anybody Tuxedo was us. So we just got, you know, they just hit up whoever these kids Tuxedo were, and they were trying to sign us.
Yeah.
Really?
We could have been signed to Mr. 305 Records.
Oh, my God.
Or whatever.
They were trying to sign us.
I know.
Yeah, we really fucked up.
Yeah, we flopped that one.
Pitbull.
But then his version of it ended up not being even as big as ours.
They didn't make the single. What happened was they put out, at first it was like, this is a smash. And we're like, hell yeah, change our life, Pitbull.
Yeah, do that.
You know, that was
like,
how
jump,
I was looking
jump
at.
On there, man.
And then they put out that Timber song, and that shit went. And it was like, our shit was just like,
track 14. Yeah. Wait, how does it go down? Do you guys send them the Pro Tools files?
Yeah, we send them the Pro Tools.
So do you have any of his vocals, like, at home?
No. Nah, we don't. If we could just have some random Pitbull ad-libs.
Wait, can you hit him up on SoundCloud now and be like, hey.
We tried tried super hard just to get the little a cappella bit of him saying Tuxedo.
Yeah,
oh, right?
Yeah,
and we couldn't even get that out of him. It was
if you guys just had, like, his laughter, I love that ad-lib. He laughs at his own, like, lines.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the greatest thing. Wait, did you guys ever, like, talk to him?
We never had one conversation
with him ever.
That'll be a common theme in my career. I never talked to him.
We have.
Do you know Mayor Hawthorne?
kinda.
They talk through SoundCloud.
Yeah.
We put out a project in 2013, and we had Lil Jon on it, and he sent his, like, obviously his vocals to us so we could mix it correctly, and we have Lil Jon saying it's the real bitch, and like, for whatever we do in life, at least we have
you,
that. Like,
got,
we put
you
on
have
our, like,
that.
Voicemail.
It's special. It's special.
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
oh,
like,
man,
that's fine.
That needs to be opening every episode.
So, yeah. So that ends up doing fairly well for you guys.
Yeah.
But really, it was your sound that they were interested in.
Mm-hmm.
How did Tuxedo come to be in the first place?
We were just homies, and, you know, I knew him before he was even Mayor Hawthorne, so.
We need to talk about
you had the worst rap name ever.
What, Haircut?
Haircut is a terrible
Well,
name.
It wasn't a really, I wasn't a rapper, I was a DJ.
It was a rap name, though.
That is a rap name.
I guess, sure, yeah. That was a name that was given to me, really, by the dudes that I was in a rap group with in Michigan.
Because you had a haircut.
I probably just showed up to, like, rap a rehearsal one night and had come from the barber and had a clean haircut. And they were like,
clean.
You haircut today. And that just kind of stuck. I don't know if it fit, because then I was, like, a DJ, and it was, like, it was Shortcut was one of my favorite DJs. And you had Cut Chemist. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll be Haircut.
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't even consider that
spelled, like, actually getting a haircut, not like the rabbit, like, hair
cut.
No,
right.
Like,
okay, gotcha.
Like,
yeah,
no haircut.
You should have put then a K my, in, then it would have been tight.
Then my studio was the barbershop, and then it was all, you know.
It was a running theme.
It was a running theme. Because
everything is clean over there. I gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wait, and by the way.
Not so bad now, huh?
Yeah, Eric's putting, like, way more thought than,
that's
like,
right,
anybody uh-huh. else ever put into this.
You're from Ann Arbor, right?
I am, yeah.
So, is it fuck the Ohio State University?
Oh, it's, all day? It's fuck Ohio State forever, huh?
You won't even put the honorific on.
No, man.
Okay, so you guys knew each other. How long ago are we talking?
Probably 2004 or 5, something like that.
And how does it sort of come to be?
I was in G Unit World at that time, and I just would get tired of it and try to do something else because I just got tired of it. And he just randomly played me his first Mayor Hawthorne stuff, and I was like, wow, you actually can sing? This was like, you know, a shock to me.
Sure.
Which I couldn't really yeah. sing at all. But I had a mixtape that I had done at the time, too, called Shoot the Duck. And it was all, like, early 80s kind of roller boogie funk stuff. And then I had heard this mixtape that Jake did called AR Music that was all, like, very, very similar.
A lot of the same songs.
Like, some of the
yeah.
same songs were on the mixtapes. And I was like, damn, there's another person in the world who actually knows and cares about this music. It was some pretty obscure
yeah,
stuff,
for sure,
like
for
the
sure.
Ritchie family and yeah. Bernard Wright and, like, records that other dudes, like, even, like, other record guys, like, they just
didn't
were not checking for those records. And, I don't know, yeah, we just, we had a mutual admiration for that.
And then I made a couple beats in that vein.
Niche genre.
It turned into this somehow, you know? Like, it really was that simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty simple. Yeah.
We were just making stuff that we wanted to ride yeah. around and listen to.
It
in
was
our,
really
in
like
our own cars.
Shit.
It was like.
Yeah.
And when did you guys actually meet, though? Because, like, were you.
Yeah, we had met.
The first time we met in. Well, the first time I think we met in person, we DJed a thing in LA
oh.
with Dame Funk. And Wajid,
yeah, like 2007 or something, 2006,
or yeah, 2006,
yeah,
yeah.
And were you guys playing any of those obscure records?
Hell
yeah,
yeah,
we were
yeah.
playing a lot of those, yeah,
because
yeah.
we had already kind of get you know given each other the tapes or whatever.
Right.
And when did you decide formally to name yourselves Tuxedo?
Well, that was when we were getting ready to put out the songs. Whenever that was, 2013,
yeah,
we were like, oh shit, we gotta have a name, and. I had some, I don't even remember the other names I had, but
we knew that we wanted like a single name, a single word name
yeah.
like Zap and Chic
yeah.
and Shalimar. Like
yeah.
it was all of the groups that yeah. we were like,
didn't matter how many syllables. No. Just
yeah.
One word.
We
one
it needed to be one single word. And then we knew we wanted it to be something that fit the music that, in which was kind of elegant funk. We called it. And I came up with Tuxedo, and Jake was like, nah, that's whack. He's like, I'm not feeling
I'm just
that.
He was just like, picturing, like,
he's
I don't
like,
want to wear a tuxedo.
He's like, you're
going to,
that means you're going to make me wear tuxedos every night. I'm not into that.
And that's like more of a Pitbull thing.
That
honest.
Is, yeah, totally.
I actually got mistaken for Pitbull when we did a video shoot.
Oh, yeah, we were
album.
Shooting a thing for a car company or something.
Yeah. Somebody was like, is that Pitbull? Like, they were serious,
they
too.
They were dead ass serious.
Where was this?
In
this
LA.
Was in LA.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's plausible you could
yeah.
see Pitbull.
Like,
there
was like a
something?
Like a big camera crew out there yeah. for it was like a car commercial. And
yeah.
How quickly did you say
was,
no? I'm sorry, I'm not Pitbull.
He just yelled Dale back at
him. I would use that for every dinner reservation possible. Like,
I mean, but you gotta have the tuxedo and you gotta have that on at all times.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, listen, guys. I mean, yeah. you chose the
hey,
name,
come
so.
On.
By the way, Eric and I just saw Kodak Black had a documentary just put out. For his first album, and you know it's this whole journey or whatever, and then at the very end in his childhood bedroom is a framed picture of Pitbull, the only thing on the wall is a framed picture of Pitbull
yeah.
and I was
wow.
amazed.
Amazing, yeah,
that's awesome,
truly
yeah. Florida
incredible.
Legend,
yeah.
And you know what, like, honestly, Pitbull's, I mean, now he's so pop, he's everything, he's Mr. Worldwide, but like at the beginning of his career
he can really rap,
really
yeah.
good rapper,
yeah, yeah.
Really
like great punchline
rapper.
Rapper.
He would laugh at all of his punchlines.
He was like, I'm getting to the bread. Fuck the dumb shit.
No, yeah. Him
You're
and
clearly
Florida,
at a point
yeah.
where you... Yeah. And, yeah. you know, who else could do it for that long? Not many.
Right.
You know?
Can you talk about how you got Snoop to be on the first joint on your album?
To just
Fox
talk
with
shit.
Talks.
Yeah, just get him to talk shit. Dog is just like our homie, man.
He's really
like,
just...
And he just
so,
loves it.
It's so strange. that it's, but it's really, he is actually just a real, I can say with legitimate honesty that Snoop Dogg is a fucking friend of mine. Like,
by the way,
it's
that
so
should
weird.
Be your voicemail.
It's pretty tight. It's pretty tight.
That's amazing.
It's really weird. Like, he'll be out doing shows in Columbia or something, and he'll send me like a selfie from the Uber or whatever it is, and
that's the greatest.
I'm just like, this is so bizarre. Every time, like, it's still just weird to me. But he is he's like one of the coolest people ever.
We revere him like no one else,
yeah,
right?
And he's the greatest.
We were watching, like, Nardwar did his 9th interview with him down South by. And, like, you go through all the old ones, and his sense of humor is so amazing. And you laugh at just, like, even when Nardwar's just like, Snoop Doggy, and then
Snoop
like,
dog.
And it's, dog. It's so good, just the little moments, too. So how did you first meet Snoop?
I met Snoop because I did some songs on one of his albums, Documentary, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I did stuff for the Wiz album. They did two on there. Snoop really, I think, was just a fan of Mayer, though. Like, that's how you met him, basically, right?
Called me on the phone one day, and he called my manager because he didn't have my number. He called my manager's phone, and I was in the car with my manager at the time. And he hands me the phone in the car, and he goes, it's Snoop Dogg. He wants to talk to you. And I was like, shut the fuck up, man. I was like, quit fucking with me, man. And he was like, nah, dude, it's Snoop Dogg. He wants to talk to you. And like, he really, yeah, he was just really, he's a soul head, man.
Thing is,
like every
when you,
time
when you
I've,
go, yeah, when
every
you go
time
backst-
I've ever hung out with that dude, yeah.
That's all he's doing. He's just playing the dramatics or something. Yeah. Or,
he's playing.
And singing every word.
He's playing, yeah, like the real, you know, Willie Hutch and mm-hmm. like, yeah. I mean, and all he does is sing along. And that was why I made him sing on my record, too. Like on my second album, I had him.
He actually sang.
I told him he wasn't
ballad.
Allowed to rap. I was like, dude, he's actually
he
a pretty good
shit,
singer
he took
too.
That shit yeah. serious too.
And he truly loves that music. Yeah. And I was like, dude, you have never done this. Nobody knows that you can even do this. I was like, you got to do this on my album. You're
so
not
this
allowed
is before,
to rap.
Like,
you
Sensual
sing.
Seduction and like.
It's probably right.
It was
right
around that
then.
Time. Yeah, maybe right before that dropped.
That's a highly underrated record, too, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Great record. Also, we've been listening to his album Bush a lot lately.
Oh, Bush was great.
Jams
great record.
Yeah.
Great, great, great record. There's a song on there called Edibles, which, like, I don't know why they didn't do anything with it, but it's
Bush
amazing.
Bush was killer, man.
Yeah.
We were playing all
that
stuff in our DJ.
Lot.
We
last
played
time
it
we were on
every
tour.
Time we DJ'd, yeah.
It's probably because, like, Timber did so well, that's why they didn't
that's,
do it.
Yeah. Is he in your phone as Snoop?
He's in my phone as Snoop Dogg.
Not
yeah.
dog.
Dog.
Everybody knows
everybody,
him calls him
yeah,
dog. You don't call him Snoop.
Yeah, it's
that's
real.
Like rule number one.
It's
like you know if you know if you really know him, you call him dog.
You call him dog. Yeah.
Like it's like Sandra Bullock. You call her Sandy.
That's right. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah
exactly the same.
Yeah,
the it's same exactly thing.
The
same.
His engineer.
Yeah.
His engineer will be like, "Yeah, let me check with dog, and I'll get back with you." And it's just never not funny.
It's never not funny.
So you guys hit him up for this record, and like, what was the instruction you gave to him?
I happen to just be in the studio with him in L.A. Just I was doing some other stuff for him for one of his artists, and then. He really loves Tuxedo too, and he asked me what we wanted him to do, and I was like, just talk shit over this part right here, and he jumped in the booth and did it.
The ho at the end is the greatest, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ho is kind of like our
that's
kind of
our thing.
It's our air horn.
Yeah, it is.
Like we came up with our own air horn.
We actually made.
We actually have a button that just says ho.
We made a big red button that when you push it, it's like a game show buzzer.
Right.
Then when you smack it, all it does is yell ho. And that is its truly
the crowd really loves
that's its only function.
It's pretty great.
You're originally from Seattle. What is growing up in Seattle like?
Seattle is cool, man. I don't know. I still live there because I just love Seattle.
Right.
Like, it's just home. I mean, I grew up in an area that was kind of a little everything. Like, I could go one way and I could see bad shit, and I'd go one way and see ballers. So it's like...
I would only go the other one. Like,
yeah, because Eric's a huge fan of the HBO show.
That's right. Big ballers.
Yeah.
So I just got... I just feel like I got to be around a lot of different type people and, you know, different cultural shit, and it kind of made me who I am.
Only child, brothers and
only
sisters?
Only child, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
You just had to learn how to entertain yourself real fast. Sure. I think that's why the music thing caught me, you know, so early. It was like, oh, I could just do this by myself all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah, did you start music early?
Nah, I was really more into sports until I got to about like 16, and then I got into like, found out about
samples.
Then
you knew that all, like, the musicians get all the pussy.
There was that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wasn't that good at sports too. That was a problem.
What was your sport of choice?
Basketball and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big Sonics fan, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We won't get into that.
All right. Wearing the hat.
Yeah. I sort of now feel like we have to bring it up.
there's a lot of venom.
Yeah.
Do you even admit that, like, Oklahoma City exists?
I mean, I just kind of hate them, like everything about the place.
Do you guys avoid them on, like, any possible tour? You're just like,
Oh, I definitely wouldn't play there. Without question. Like, there's not even a question for me.
I'd not have to do that show solo.
Yeah. Wait, and by association, like, do you root for Kevin Durant?
I'm rooting really hard for Kevin Durant. Yeah. Because I couldn't root for him for whatever it was, 8 years. So yeah. I'm super happy about that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was also the base god curse, so, you know.
That was pretty great. Yeah. You know, I'm here for all that.
So
TYBG.
Yeah. So you grow up in Seattle. You get into music heavy when you're about 16.
Yeah.
What are your musical inspirations around then?
You know, like the guys that everybody else looked up to, the Premieres and the DJ Quicks and the Dre's and Pete Rock and stuff.
So production
like that
was always going to be your sort
Yeah,
of...
I think as a kid, I was really into DJing. Like, you know, Jam Master Jay. I had like a jacket that said Jam Master Jake on the back. You know,
That's awesome. Yeah,
I don't know where that's at, but yeah, I did do that.
I would really, really, really try to find that.
It's probably somewhere under the house. but yeah, no, I mean, it just was something I got into. It was something like making beats wasn't something I thought of, because being from Seattle, you didn't really see anybody make it. We saw Mixalive, but he was like a generation before me. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to make beats for whoever it is. That just wasn't even an option.
Right.
So it's just something I did for fun, and I just, you know, kind of, people would come to town, I'd give them my beats, and then eventually people really started liking my beats.
Yeah.
And then,
but you were also growing up, like, at a time when, like, you know, grunge was so huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's your flannel collection like?
You know, I had some mean flannels, but I just never was really into that. I was always a hip-hop kid, and I was kind of like, fuck grunge. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but I just... That's
well, were you surrounded by, like, all your friends, like, grunge? And
I wouldn't say my friends, but, like, yeah, everybody was into
everybody
it.
Everybody else, yeah.
I have family that's, like, was part of that scene.
Really?
Like, they played in bands and stuff. And, you know, you just see those guys around. I played basketball with, what's homie's
Mookie
name?
Blaylock.
Well, one of the dudes from Mookie Blaylock, Jeff, from Pearl Jam. Like
Jeff Ament, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
And this just tells you how ignorant I am to the whole thing. I played basketball for 3 years, didn't know that's who it was. I was watching Saturday Night Live one night, and I was like, holy shit, that's the dude from Pro Jam.
every week.
And we were like friends. We probably played 3-4 days a week.
Could he hoop?
He's actually really good.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Who did you play basketball with?
All the dudes in my rap group.
Everyone was, from the Fab Five.
Yeah.
Actually, I did go to – I went to Steve Fisher basketball camp.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
And – the Fab Five, I remember they did come in and, like, work with us
when we were there. Did you go to U of M?
I went to University of Michigan, yep.
How much?
Graduated.
What percentage of your class went there? Like, your high school graduating class?
More than other high schools in the world, but still a very small percentage. It's a tough school to get into. Even tougher. Now, I would never get in.
But
now.
Did a lot of
but
people
now
go
you're
to
too
state?
Old.
Yeah, no, clearly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so much harder now. I barely squeaked in, and if I didn't go to the high school in Ann Arbor, I wouldn't have made it. I mean, I wasn't that smart.
What'd you major in?
Computer science.
You did a real, like, major, at least.
Yeah, I was a dork.
Yeah.
No, I was a dork, man. I mean, I still am a dork.
Well, what was the plan?
The plan always was I want to do music. I knew really early on that I wanted to make music for the, I mean, my dad is a musician. He taught me. I mean, it was always just a hobby for him. He was a hobby rocker, but he taught me everything from like a really early age, and he played multiple instruments, and he taught me how to play bass when I was, you know, 6 years old or something like that. And then I was always, yeah, I mean, I was really lucky. I just grew up in a very musical family that really appreciated it. Both of my parents had big record collections, and it was, I always knew I wanted to do music, but my dad knew how impossible it was to do it for a living. So he was like, you're going to school. He never went to college either. So,
well, did you guys,
he was like, damn it, you're going to college.
You're, I mean, you're both like, you're not in New York, you're not in LA.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Did it feel like you guys were so far away from everything?
I never thought it was a realistic career path.
Yeah,
honestly.
Well, I actually moved to New York.
Yeah, you went for it, at least. I never did.
Because
that.
For that reason, because we thought, you know, we got to do...
They were outside of Fat Beats trying to sell tapes.
Yeah. Well, what age are we talking?
It was right when I graduated from high school.
Wow.
So we were 19 or something, and we came out. And
what year was that?
99.
Had you been to New York
maybe
before?
We were 20. I'd been to New York before, yeah.
Okay.
I'd been to New York a couple times.
Did New York seem overwhelming at all?
It was overwhelming, but we didn't give a shit. We were fucking, we didn't care at all. I mean, we lived, six of us, in a 3-bedroom apartment in Jersey City. And it was like when Jersey City was not cool.
Right.
That shit was not nice.
Do you talk to Just Blaze about that now?
I haven't talked to Blaze about it. He would probably get a good laugh out of that. Yeah, I don't know. Shout out to Just Blaze.
Did you see anybody when you were going to like Fat Beats?
Yeah, we used to see people all the time. I mean, it's a small world, man.
Yeah.
It's a pretty small community. We used to see everybody. I mean, that, but we realized really quickly that we didn't need to be here.
Well, what did the internet mean to each of you guys? Like,
I mean, it definitely connected a lot of dots just in general. But when I kind of got on, it was still before you could send beats over the internet. Like, I was sending FedExes and shit like that. Beats
where?
To people. To, like, you know, guys in New York I knew. Or,
and on,
you know,
what? Like,
it was just a piece of paper. It's
just like
SoundCloud link.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like a CD or, I mean, shit. My first stuff I did was tapes. Like,
yeah.
It was actually beat tapes.
Would you be afraid that, like, someone would just, like, take your beat and then that was it?
I mean, that happened definitely over the years, like during those times.
Yeah.
But
Pitbull,
yeah, sure.
it honestly, I kind of felt like, man, if somebody's stealing it, that means I'm headed in the right direction. One of the first, when I did some independent records in Seattle on this label, it's called Conception. One of the things that made me feel like, damn, maybe I have something is like, there was a remix. I don't know if you remember Nicole, who signed to Missy or something.
Yeah,
Nicole Ray. Yeah.
They literally put out a remix that just used my beat from like some random independent rap record I did.
Whoa.
And it was on like Atlantic. And I was like, holy shit. Like, because, you know, the thing is back then you'd have us, you know, people would be like, oh man, so and so stole your beat, but it'd just be the sample.
Right.
This wasn't really that situation. It was legitimately my beat.
Oh my God.
And it was like promo only. We're like, yeah, we about to sue him and blah, blah, blah. It didn't amount to anything. Cameron's app was actually on that.
Wow.
It's called I Can't See, You Can't See Something. Anyways.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was kind of like, damn, maybe I got something.
Yeah.
You know? That was probably like 99.
It's encouraging.
Yeah. I know it's funny you could look at it that way, but that was how I felt.
Did you use that to your advantage where you're just like, so my shit got placed on a...
Nah, I think at that point I was still just not even connected to anybody important, you know?
Yeah.
I went to Gavin convention one year, and that was where my whole shit started. I met, like, High Tech, and I met my first manager, and he was the one that really just got me rolling.
And so what are some of those first, like...
Stuff I did from back then?
Yeah.
I did, like, stuff for Mos Def back then that never came out. I did a Rod Digga song with Lloyd Banks, Party Over Here or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was my first one that ever actually came out.
Yeah.
That was on, like, a Green Lantern mixtape or something?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, what, like, the John Cena shit was back then. Mm-hmm. He hooked that up.
Yeah, are you a wrestling fan?
I was when I was a kid, but by that point, I didn't give a shit. Now I kind of hate it because I don't have publishing on the song. Right. So it's kind of like I hear this shit and I'm like, fuck. fuck.
Burns you up.
I just hear money going to somebody else every time that shit comes on.
So when like Wyclef got like Vince the rock McMahon. On his thing, you're just like old news.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but you know, it's kind of cool to have something that's lived on that long, like a song. Yeah,
that's a lot of people's favorite Jake One song ever.
Yeah, it's funny. And a lot of people don't know I did it too. I was like, it's always a sneaky one or whatever.
When did you feel like you really formulated like your sound?
What I was doing, probably like 2004, like when I did the De La stuff, mm-hmm. like Rock Cocaine Flow, mm-hmm. and that's when I started working with Sha Money and those guys. That was when I like kind of had a thing,
right?
And I mean, it helped that I had the connection to get that to people,
sure,
and the right artist to, you know, to sound good on it. Like that's such a big part of it. I mean, you know.
Well, how did Sha track you down?
I had, you know, I've had so many managers at that point. I just give beats to anybody, be like, yeah, if or whatever, you sell something, I'll give you a piece. And there was just, that was like a real thing back then. There was like producer managers really got paper back then, because you get paid for beats that never even came out.
Right.
If they wanted to rap to the beat, they had to pay for that bitch.
Yeah.
Because they had to put the first half down and go to the studio and track it and all that shit. And,
or they could steal it and just put, you know, an Atlantic promo sticker on it. And
that was a weird one. But yeah, in general, like,
to get that second half was always
the second half could be murder. It was impossible. That's still murder in 2017. Yeah. But yeah, like I did a song on G-Unit's first album, Better Ask Somebody. And I would just hear like, yo, Sha Money loves you, blah, blah, blah. But I never met him.
Mm-hmm.
So the Anger Management tour came to Seattle. I went to Nine Porter told me to come through. I was friends with him. Mm-hmm. And me and my homie Jay Moore, rest in peace, just passed away. He was like, he was the dude that would just go to people, and I would be like, nah, I don't want to. He would be like, fuck that, we're about to go to him. So he saw Sha Money and we ran up on him, and he was like, he looked at me, he saw a ghost or something, because he loved my music, but I had never met him, know what I look like, you know, or anything. And
puzzled.
Did he know that you were from Seattle, or is it?
No, I don't. So he just
popped up on me on like a weird city.
Yeah, just so. Anyways, he called me like a week later, and he was like, "Yeah, I want to manage you," and then it just kind of went from there.
Can you talk about Jay Moore real quick? Because obviously, like, social media really showed everybody who didn't know what he meant to Seattle and Seattle hip hop and everything. Who he really was.
Just, it was bigger than that, even, man.
He was just the ultimate dot connector, and just like,
he really was
just a great person. Like, if you came to Seattle to do anything, he was your point person, you know.
Guy.
And you know, he did a lot of cool stuff. He just helped a lot of people without even having his hand out, which is such a rare thing, you know. People, you know, in general, behind the scenes, they want a piece of everything that they touch, right? That's kind of like, he was never really like that. He just, I don't know, he's just a real, real pure dude. And you know, it's gonna be hard not having him around.
Artist, radio personality.
Yeah, just, he was an artist first, and then he transitioned to kind of being more like, you know, a manager. He was had a radio show on Cube, did tour managing. He did every phase of the
so
shit.
He was so good at just, yeah, man. He was such a great host.
Yeah. Like, he's the only guy I knew that was like so into hosting that he would get mad at, like, we would be somewhere and some guy would be hosting, he'd be like, like, you know, rappers get mad at each other, like, another rapper, it's whack. He'd be that way about a host. That's how seriously he took
dude
that shit.
Sucks.
But yeah, he you know, he was, that was my brother, man. Like, it's, you know, luckily we have his kids, you know, to live for him to live on through.
He was such a big part of Big Tune, too. Which,
yeah, it's a thing. We have a Rebel. We had a beat battle called Rebel Big Tune. He kind of spearheaded that whole
which
shit.
Which was worldwide.
We found a lot of guys early doing that.
And a lot of graduates from Big Tune are doing.
Yeah, we got some heavy hitters.
What was it? Like, there was last week or something.
I was looking at the Billboard thing.
There was multiple Big Tune alums in the top 10
producers on Billboard, which is crazy, you know, because, and these guys all changed and, you know, did different things, but we found them and they were nobody, which is cool, you know.
Right. Well, like, who are you guys talking about?
Like, Frank Dukes is definitely
a big one.
Ryan Lewis is a big one.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
This guy was in it. You know, he was actually in the beat battle before he was singing.
Yeah.
So, what did the internet mean to you?
Oh man, the internet really. I definitely would not have a Mayor Hawthorne career without Twitter. I think
I got really lucky when I dropped the first song, the Just Ain't Gonna Work Out. It was in the real early stages of Twitter where people weren't as careful about what they said on there. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of celebrities would just tweet about it, you know, which is just something that people are way more careful about now, about right. co-signing stuff. It wasn't like that then in the early day. People just wanted to tweet because it was cool, you know, and that really launched me into a different level, man. Because I, you know, it was on Stone's Throw Records. It was an independent release, and I mean, we pressed 1,000 copies on vinyl. That was it. It was like,
so you weren't expecting like you know huge.
No, and then you know it was like Kanye and John Mayer tweeted about
Timberlake,
it.
I think.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, wow. Alicia Keys, like a bunch of people on Twitter started really bigging it up, and that was like a huge. I mean, I got a bunch of cosigns from big celebrities, and
were they verified?
I don't even know. Yeah,
might have been before verified.
Might have been before that even was real.
The
yeah.
real Kanye West.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Kanye West one.
Yeah, the real, real one. Yeah.
Did you ever get any like traction from MySpace or anything? Did any like people, any artists reach out through MySpace?
I'm more like. Was trying to smash chicks on MySpace.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Does it still work?
Not so much anymore. Yeah, that's not as cool anymore.
Twitter actually really changed just the whole, just meeting artists. And
yeah, yeah.
It just made it so all the managers didn't matter anymore. Like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, that's like the last 10 years or, you know, 7-8 years. Everything I've done has been a guy randomly DMing.
You're like, yeah. Why did I have a million managers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I can actually get to people.
Yeah. I ended up actually opening a couple shows for John Mayer off of that tweet. I mean, it was really, shit happened off of that.
That's
awesome. Crazy.
Where? What cities?
We did L.A. and Las Vegas, I think. Or San Diego. Maybe it was San Diego and Vegas or something like that. But yeah,
that's so
I mean,
awesome.
Just
yeah.
incredible. Like, and it didn't really do anything for him. Like, I don't know, maybe he was associated with like a cool thing, but like he didn't need that at the time. He was huge.
Well, I mean, he could reach Pitbull through you guys.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. He legitimately just thought it was cool. And that was shout out John Mayer, man. I got nothing but love for you, homie.
Okay. When you guys decide to get into the studio together, did you know that it was going to be a collaborative project, or was it just like, let's do a couple songs? And
we were just kind of doing songs for fun, and then
really just stuff that we wander out around to and listen to on our own time. Like,
it was like it's like the coldest side group. Yeah. Like, that's really what it is, because he's still doing Mayor Hawthorne, and I'm like, shit, I'm going to the studio after this, you know? Like,
right.
So
we both had our own things like going pretty well. So
how long did
that's a really nice thing about Tuxedo is there's not a whole lot of pressure with
no,
it, because
no,
you know, we're doing okay on our own. So it's like, you know, it's really all just icing, man.
How long did the first project take to put together?
The first,
I mean,
one
it's probably
cumulative,
like
man.
5 or 6 years.
Oh,
just
man.
Kinda
we
had, doing a
we
week
had
or
done
two.
Like 40 yeah. songs or something.
Yeah. We'd man. Get together for like 3 days here and there, you know. But he was touring a lot during
yeah,
that
man.
Point.
I was on
so.
The road like 100 plus days a year, 150 days a year or something.
Yikes.
Yeah,
Jesus.
It was nuts.
I know. Do you even unpack?
No.
Who takes care of your mail at home?
I have an assistant that does all that.
Wow.
Stuff.
You don't have any pets, do you?
I don't have any pets.
Yeah,
I mean, would.
They
I
all
would,
die.
I
yeah.
would. I would feel terribly. I can't even keep my plants.
He had
alive.
Some plants
yeah.
die. That,
yeah.
was, that was rough.
Had some trees.
I like that you know about it.
I know.
So that doesn't
it was,
mean
it was.
It
was serious shit
yeah,
to him.
No, it was
like, man, my
that's our brother
plants.
Dan, by the way.
Hey, what's up?
Shout out, Dan.
Yeah. Okay, so the first project took 5 or 6 years to really put together. Then you put it out. What's the timeline between the first project and the second project?
Well, the last one came out March 3rd, 2015. We started that, and then, and we had a talk. We're like, yeah, maybe we'll do like a couple of shows and we'll be done with this by April. that was what I was told. And then like a year and a half later, we're still doing shows.
Then we had like a year later, about after the album had come out, we had ended up like, we got a call from Japan that was like, yeah, your song is in the top 5 or something on the radio in Tokyo right now. And we were like, yeah, nah, that's got to be a mistake or something.
Yeah, like lost in translation.
So long after the album came out. Yeah. But it was,
is Japan in your phone as Japan?
Yeah.
Like just like dog?
Japan is just Japan, yeah.
I did make a beat tape Tokyo. Called Big in Japan. Because it literally happened.
That was bizarre. And then we ended up going to Japan and doing a bunch of big, huge shows out there. It's super fun, man.
What's that like?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Had you guys been there before?
I went there twice.
Yeah.
Just on some like wanting to go buy records.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like the place where you always kind of hope that you're going to blow up in. And then it never happened for me. I would go and play for like 10 people and I'd be like, damn it, man, how come nobody likes me here? I just want to be big in Japan. And then it just happened like when we weren't even trying. Of course, that was like when it actually happened.
Yeah, they were telling us it was going good out there, and then we went. We were like, holy shit.
We fully didn't understand it at all. And then we got there and we're just baffled by the whole thing. It's so
yeah, cool. There's certain places it really doesn't make sense. Popular.
Eric and I had an idea years ago that we were trying to sell to Sprite, where we would do a documentary that's following us around, because like nobody knows who we are as rappers, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, certainly if our family can't understand like what we do, then like what's it
well,
like?
that's just a Jewish thing.
I mean, yeah. Oh my god.
No family ever. It's just if you don't do classical, that shit's garbage. You know? if you're not in the New Yorker, New York Times,
Klezmer is huge. In
there. But so we wanted to do this documentary where we'd go to Japan and literally nobody would know who we were, and it was like playing for 10 people. But I guess you guys were already living it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did that for sure. I mean, I was always trying to like force it there, and they never fucked with me at all. But for some reason, the tuxedo thing just really something just
a
clicks
lot, a lot
with
of places in Asia it just worked, which is
amazing.
It's one of those things you don't try to like, hey man, so
you just can't
gonna
yeah.
make something that Korea is gonna like. Like you just do what you like, and they either like it or
you
they don't.
Cannot.
It's a tiny
call
thing.
That.
Yeah, yeah. In between, you spend a year and a half making this new record, and you put out 3 songs on Inauguration Day, as far as I know.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
the 20th.
Right. Yeah.
And one of them was Fucks with the Tux.
Yeah.
What were the other two? That
July and Special.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you put those on SoundCloud, and they move around, like, all the blogs and everything and Twitter. What did you do between then and formally putting it out?
We kind of had the album ready. It was
this time around, we actually had the album
done. It was more just trying to get people warmed up for, like, what the album was going to be.
Yeah.
Are there people who still don't know that you guys are Tuxedo?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
there's people
sure,
that
there's
like
people
Mayor there. Hawthorne that don't know about Tuxedo.
There's but also what, people.
You should tell them.
There's also hella people that know Tuxedo that don't have any that could give a single shit about Mayor Hawthorne or Jake One. Like they don't care about our individual stuff at all.
Japan's
but they,
not fucking with.
But they really love
solo.
Tuxedo. You know, it's weird. It works.
I definitely
works
was
ways.
Not going to Japan and playing for thousands of people before Tuxedo. I paid my own way to go. And
For those people who do know, like, are they looking for production that's like what you're doing with Tuxedo?
We've had some people reach out in that. The problem is our schedule has just been so bad because he's shit. He put an album last year as Mayor Hawthorne, so he was running around doing that.
Yeah.
So we had actually some bigger names and wanted to work with us, and we just never got in there and did it.
Couldn't get it together. We're working on some stuff.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like just from the production side or new Tuxedo stuff?
Both.
Both, yeah.
And then, you know, the most random one is that I did one of the songs I did on the new Future, I put his vocals in, which is, you know, kind of cool that he's singing backgrounds on a Future song.
Tuxedo.
Unbeknownst to Nate
Wait,
Davies.
Really?
Yeah.
Tuxedo is technically on Future's Hendrix album.
Amazing.
What song?
Looking Exotic.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love doing shit like that.
Yeah,
that's what excites me at this point. Like,
tricking people with Mayor Hawthorne vocals.
That was kind of amazing. Yeah.
Just doing shit people don't expect me to do is like my favorite thing at this point.
People were really baffled by that one.
They didn't know how to feel about that. Yeah. Our fans definitely didn't know how to feel about that.
Our fans were like, what?
Well, did you have any feeling whether they would like pick it or not?
Oh, I have. When I work with Southside, I have no idea what's going on. Like,
I don't think
Southside all the way knows what's happening with a lot of things.
Nobody knows.
Just because they're doing so much music, it's not like,
right,
they're not like, this is the one. That's like they're doing hundreds of songs. Yeah. So, you know, you get in that pot of songs and you make, I mean, I've been hitting on a bunch of them. So it's kind of crazy to me because I haven't even put that much effort into it. As far as like, it's not like a band, I'm just going to make shit for this. I've been doing all these different things.
Yeah.
But it's been working.
That's why it's working.
Yeah,
You're not putting that much.
I'm just doing what I want, really. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's how I try to approach this shit.
That's dope.
Yeah.
We just saw Southside was in the Spotify series.
Yeah.
Was he?
Traffic Jams. Yeah.
Oh shit! I got
to watch.
So our
friend Amir.
Go watch.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know Amir. Yeah, that's my man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He created this show for Spotify through All Depth Digital, where it's a producer and an artist never met before in their lives get into the back of a Range Rover.
And they're driven to a venue, and in the time that it takes to get from wherever they were to the venue, they have to create a song
in
the backseat of
this
car.
It's in Los Angeles, so
that's
like
tight.
You
it could
know,
take 2 hours.
Yeah, 10 miles could take forever
for sure. Yeah.
And
Southside made a beat without actually listening to it.
That's how I've seen
that's
him
how
do
he
that.
Does most of it.
He was with T-Pain, and T-Pain just couldn't understand like what he was experiencing.
I gotta watch that.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. So it debuts actually like
that's
so this
great.
You know, this
it's
week,
out.
Yeah, it's
wait,
an amazing idea.
What other like weird producers like not like Ticks or whatever like, but like you know how Jay-Z like doesn't write down his lyrics. Southside doesn't listen to whatever he's working on.
I mean, I've worked with him in the studio a bunch of times. I've never seen him do that like as a thing. He probably was just stunting.
It's a parlor trick.
But he does. He could do it, obviously.
Right.
But you know, he's in there playing his shit loud.
By the way, like, so all those guys, you know, Metro and Southside TM and beyond Atlanta, by the way, they all grew up off Fruity Loops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys prefer?
I'm a dinosaur, man. I use all old shit. But I love that I go in there with him and he's like got a like dusty like compact Presario or some shit.
Yeah.
He's making hits on it. All these guys, I love that shit. It's no more hip hop than that. You know?
Right, sure.
I made my first two albums, including one on a major on Universal Republic.
Oh yeah, Cubase.
Not Cubase, on Cool Edit.
Cool Edit.
Which is like
that's even worse than
way
Cubase.
Way worse. Cubase is legitimate.
Did you have a hacked password on there? Like,
oh yeah, it was bootleg.
You know you wasn't buying shit.
Oh, come on, I didn't pay for that.
Got it from a message board.
Yeah. If you pay for your plugins, you're whack. Like, you're just not good at music, probably. If you pay for plugins.
Advice for everyone out there who wants to produce.
Yeah.
Go type in on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
That's how the internet really changed everything.
It
gave a lot of people a chance.
Some
people were great that came out of it,
sure,
and a lot of people suck. So, I mean, it's just like anything.
I mean, we would have never been able to afford any of that stuff. So,
where did you guys do most of your recording, and did you do it together?
We did, actually.
We always
did everything
do
together.
Everything Tuxedo, we record together. Yeah, we don't do over the internet.
Like
recording.
A lot of times I'll kind of start the beat at home and then we'll get together and kind of flesh it out. He'll play guitar or whatever it is.
Arrange it.
This one we did kind of, you know, shout out to the Bull. We did kind of very worldwide-ish. We did we did it in Japan. We did it in Melbourne. Some of it in Paris.
That's just a cool stunt, like for your liner.
I just
notes.
Thought it was funny, like that we were, but
well,
we'd be
we
on
really
tour, and that was
we'd
have
tour,
days
yeah.
off, and we're
yeah.
together because we don't live in the same city, so
right.
it kind of made sense.
We
like,
had to
we
take advantage of the time.
3 days
were
off.
Were you in studios,
you know,
or were you in like the hotel?
Oh no, we actually
we were
doing studios.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, most of the songs on the new album were recorded on the road somewhere.
You know how, like, you know, every studio will have, like, you know, drinks or whatever, like bags of Doritos. What are some, like, interesting accoutrements that they would have in, say, Japan or Melbourne? Or
man, the studio in Tokyo had, like, the speakers in the wall hidden. That shit was pretty tight.
That was fly, yeah.
That was pretty fly. They also had, like, Japanese characters on the Pro Tools would fuck me up.
Oh, that was hard, man. And
like,
they, nobody could
like,
figure out how
what
to
is,
turn
what
it
is
to
the
English.
Character for Consolidate? Like,
oh, my God. That was, like, I forgot about that.
That was a trip.
That was difficult.
Where did you find the drum loop, or did you sample it from? It sounds like almost identical to the beginning of Kiss on My List.
The Hall & Oates Kiss on My List?
Yeah. Am I? All right, hold on.
For what song?
That's a CR78 drum machine.
Oh, yeah, it's probably the same drum machine.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That might just be the CR78, because I know for a fact that the Kiss on Your List is actually just the rock preset, like on the CR78.
No, the old drum machines would be like swing beat.
Yeah.
Or there's like bossa nova or merengue or something like that. If you push the rock preset
like,
button,
boom, that's the drums.
Yeah.
And then the little that's the programmed drum fill is the. So like those are your only choices on there.
That's awesome. Do you remember when Eve put out her first song and it was literally just like
the Triton demo?
Yeah.
That is incredible.
It's so awesome.
I was in a studio with Southside like 2 weeks ago, and his engineer, or he's not an engineer, the A&R is my homie Dash. His favorite joke to hit me was like, yo, you need a Triton or a Motif in here or something so you feel comfortable. That was his number one go-to. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hurt, but you know, like it was a good one though. I'm still laughing at it, because I was just like, yeah, I actually remember. I was actually old enough to remember when that was new. And I thought that shit was trash, you know. The little Triton sparkle thing they would put in everything.
A lot of smash hit records made off of that Triton.
Oh, talk about it.
Yeah.
What was it like actually going to Daryl's house?
That was hilarious. It was amazing, man. So, just super cool, man. Yeah. Like, the guy's amazing. He's a legend. I mean, he's a truly like a soul head too. I mean, a lot of people don't know that dude really came from like.
He was singing on Philly
street corner doo-wop groups. Like, he was in a group called the Temp Tones that actually put out a soul 45, like a doo-wop 45. You know, that guy is legit, man. He knows the stuff.
Who'd they bring out at like the Apollo? Like, didn't they bring out like the Temptations or something like that? Like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then
back then.
The episode that I was on his show, Booker T was like also there playing.
Were
organ.
Any of the MGs there?
No, but I did get.
Are you an honorary?
I
MG?
Did get to be yo. I got to be Duck Dunn for a song. Like, I got to play Green Onions. I played bass on Green Onions live with Booker T on organ. It was an unbelievable experience.
That's amazing.
Actually, how far is Ann Arbor from Detroit?
Like 25 minutes.
Oh.
So, you know, you basically saw, like, Hitsville, USA, like, that sort of, like...
Yeah, my parents were both from the city, too. They were both born and raised on...
Like, was your dad
near
Bob Seger?
Six Mile. My dad wasn't Bob Seger. He was not nearly as rich as Bob Seger, I wish.
Did he have a full beard?
He did have a very gnarly full beard at one point. Yeah, we have some photos of my dad. Shout out my dad.
My favorite part about Daryl's house is we'll be somewhere, and if anybody old that's white, like, and I say old, like 50, 60, 70, they'll be like, they'll recognize him, and they'll be like, man, I love you. And he'll be like, Daryl's house.
Yeah. I cut him off. And
he says it every time.
And it confuses the shit out of people, because I take the words right out of their mouth. Like, I know that's what they're about to say.
How do you go about, like, picking what you guys are going to play that day?
For Daryl's house? Yeah. Oh, my God. This was so funny. So I'm talking to him on the phone, like, a couple weeks before we filmed the episode. And they're asking me, you know, his, like, MD is asking me what songs of Daryl's, you know, that we want to do. And he's like, you know, try to pick some ones that are, like, not so obvious. You know, because we always do, you know, I can't go for that.
Right.
And, like, you know, he was like, try to go a little deeper. And they sent me the entire box set collection as if I didn't know it or something.
Right.
And you're like,
already.
Fine, adult education.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, oh, you don't got to test me. I was like, let's play portable radio or something like that. I was going deep on it. I was like, Grounds for Separation? Come on. And I can hear, I said portable radio. And I can hear Daryl in the background. I'm talking to the MD on the phone. I can hear Daryl in the background, and he yells, "No, I'm not doing that song. That's an Oates song."
That's
amazing. So we didn't do that one. But then, and I mean, I mentioned like a couple other, like, you know, deeper cuts, and I was like excited to do those, and I showed up like, and I was ready to do those ones, and then I get there, and he's like, "Let's do. I can't go for that. What should we just do? Private Eyes?" And I was like, "Okay, sure, yeah." Then we ended up doing all like the hits. Like,
oh my god!
And it was, you know, it ended up being great for me because that ended up being like one of the episodes that everybody wants to watch. Because yeah. We do all the hits.
Oh my god!
What do you think Oates' house is like?
I always imagine Oates first of all, Oates is one of the fucking coolest and low-key one of the funniest comedians you've ever met in your life. Oh yeah, no, I've hung out with
Oates. He opened shows.
Who's funnier?
Oh, Oates is way funnier.
No. John Mayer or
I don't know. I've spent more time with John Oates. John Mayer is really funny on Twitter though. He's a great tweeter.
Is Oates on Twitter?
Oates is on Twitter. Yeah.
Wait, is he verified?
When John Mayer like reached out to you, we're like, he's like, "You're great." You're like, "You're really funny." Like,
yeah. He, like, nice joke. He made some joke about Mayer and Mayer when he first tweeted it out. That was really funny. I can't remember what it was, but
it was probably that.
It was actually super funny. He was like, "Yeah, I know." You know, but it was he's a great tweeter for sure. I remember his bio on Twitter was great. It was like, it was something about like great songwriter and sandwich maker or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's good.
What did,
Oates is hysterical though. Yeah. I mean, and all of his jokes are pretty much cracks on Daryl. And
I bet
it's just great.
I bet
it is really great.
Well, I hope that you guys, you know, one day will just, like, turn into Hall & Oates just cracking on each other.
I mean, I'm definitely Oates in the whole situation.
Have you ever gone with just the mustache?
No, but maybe I'll do that for this new tour just to see what happens.
Well, it'd be huge in Japan.
Yeah. Well, what is your tour going to be like, guys?
We are going to... we're going to Amsterdam on Tuesday, and then Paris, London, Poland... Mm-hmm.
Poland doesn't sound as glamorous, by the way.
Not like, really. Well, I shouldn't say I'm not hyped for Poland. I've never been there, so I'm kind of interested to see it. But yeah, who knows?
I definitely have some Polish in my ancestry somewhere too. So,
are you going to say that on stage?
I'm going to reconnect with my roots there.
I have like my grandfather's side were Polish Jews, and I think they didn't make it out. So it's kind of a little weird for that.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Things not to bring up on stage.
Yeah. I'm not going to be, "Hey, so you guys wipe us out."
Yeah.
Probably not going to go over that
maybe
well.
Maybe you remember that.
What was your AKA about?
Oh, breaking down the Dutch, AKA Germany.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah. What are your hometown shows like at this point, guys? Like either solo or together?
L.A. was
Or have you chosen
crazy.
A new hometown?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
I've been in L.A. for 10 years now, so
you claim L.A.
It definitely feels like home at this point.
Well, what part of L.A. do you live in?
I'm in Culver City.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you live on the Sony lot.
I do. I'm pretty close. I'm not that far from there. Columbia Pictures.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Tender Greens?
I got burnt out on that pretty quick. It went downhill. It started when it came on the scene. It was like kind of the first of its kind, and it was good.
Did you get excited or not when Shake Shack showed up?
Oh, I think Shake Shack is bodying
Shake Shack
in and out
is
on
bodying
every level.
In and out. I don't care what anybody says,
guys.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm burnt out on Shake Shack.
Controversial statement.
Yeah, really controversial.
That all my LA, you know,
I don't live in LA, I hate on everything LA.
All my LA friends are gonna blow my fucking messages up right now, but Shake Shack bodying In and Out on every category.
I'm with you on that too.
Wow. By the way, speaking of LA,
and I like In and Out.
No, good save.
I do like In and Out, but I think Shake Shack.
It's cool if Shake Shack.
Shake Shack is killing it. Shake Shack's killing it in every department except for health.
And how many of them there are.
Right, but how many? I mean, who's going to get the burger and fries and really clowning themselves, thinking that they're going eating healthy?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point.
I was gonna say you were so LA, and then you said that, but yeah, but then You were on our friend
Tall Tales podcast.
I texted Nikki and Jason yesterday being like, oh my God, Mayer's coming to the podcast. And then Eric was like, it's 8 a.m. in L.A. right now.
I was like, it's not even, yeah.
A.K.A. Pod Stewart. Shout out Pod Stewart.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And playing Seattle?
We've only done one show in Seattle, and it was actually kind of pandemonium.
Were you like, well, can't top that? Like, yeah, never play there again.
It was bonkers. Yeah, yeah. We have one coming up.
Yeah, it's gonna be nuts. I mean, you know, I don't do that much in Seattle. I might DJ Air every once in a while, but
the tickets are definitely selling really well for that date. So
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be
too well.
Jake,
do you guys want
Jake
to
is
calm
always
down?
Gonna get home. I mean, he's a Seattle legend,
right? If you live in Seattle and you don't go to support these guys, fuck you. Like,
fuck just, you.
Well, there's what's gonna happen. What happened last time is there's gonna be a bunch of people that can't get in. They try to buy tickets.
Good,
and they get mad at me. And you know, you gotta learn that lesson.
There's gonna be There's gonna be at least 30 people that text Jake 5 minutes before we're going on stage that they're outside.
Don't you guys just turn your phones off at that point?
Yeah, I do.
He doesn't want to get anybody in.
It's a private show.
They
just
love
like 3 missed calls from dog. Like, you're like, what the fuck?
They love making fun of my guest list because I have all the rap people coming. So just the names are like, like, is there a last name to this? Like, nope.
It's just Macklemore.
It's Trill somebody plus 13.
Yeah, shout out to Benny Blanco for his plus 13 in one of our shows. That will never
in LA, right?
This was in Texas, actually. But
really?
Yeah, that's just nobody's ever gonna top the plus 13.
Well, what's the random ask in some random city? Like, who shows up for a tuxedo show and is just like, you're like, really?
Cleveland.
You're here in Cleveland, yeah.
We don't play random cities. Like, we're
you're
only
playing Poland.
Point taken.
Random countries, Eric. It's different.
Yeah, I did have.
I want Lloyd Banks to show up and just be like, you know.
I had
they do spend
Jim
time
Harbaugh
there.
Came to my last show in Ann Arbor.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Was he wearing.
He had his
khakis?
Dockers on.
Of course he was wearing the Dockers, man. Come on. He doesn't have no other pants.
That was another AKA I had. White Boy Wasted. AKA Dockers.
Wait, so
did you get to talk to Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah, I did actually. He actually invited me to like present the new class of football recruits, and
that was because I was with you when you found out about it. That seemed like that was better than anything that's ever happened.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. No, I mean that
stunned on any of the music shows.
Yeah, it was incredible. The Migos were there.
That was also so bizarre.
The Migos.
Were they with Jim
Harbaugh?
The
Migos and Jim Leland of the Detroit Tigers.
All of you
presented together. They actually got Jim Leland to do a dab on stage. It was one of the more incredible.
This was like 2 years ago.
Ric Flair was there.
What?
I had to get a photo with Ric Flair. He was like,
what? And
I'm looking up Jim Leland dab, by the way.
Yeah. Wait.
Oh, it's going to come right up, and you're going to laugh.
Where were you in the order of things there?
I was right in the middle.
You're like,
it.
I don't want to follow the Migos and Jim Leland at the same time. Like,
They set me up pretty easy. I mean, really all I had to do was introduce a couple of new players, and it was really tight, though.
Did you get all the names right?
It was so tight. Yeah, okay. I did.
Wow. Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz, yeah.
Jim Leland, Harbaugh, Migos, dab for Michigan signing day.
Jeter was there.
Wow.
Brady was there. Yeah,
oh,
it was.
Here are the photos you requested.
It was
of
really
Jim Leland
a stunt. I mean, it was a super stunt.
Yeah, sure. Sure. And did
Jim
you get
Leland just did the dab in everybody's face.
I the only guy that I was like, I got to get a photo with you was Ric Flair. I was like, come on, dude. This
pretty
is
pretty special.
This is special.
Special.
But Jim Leland is a Detroit, you know.
He's an icon, yeah.
Sure.
But you don't care.
He's a hero. I got an auxiliary photo with Jim Leland. Somebody caught one of me and him talking backstage.
Never heard of that term before.
An auxiliary photo, yeah.
I don't know what else to call that.
It's pretty good.
Paparazzi.
So what is Seattle like now? Do you think like
is it over?
Well,
are we done?
Yeah, no, but like, I mean, it's such a different vibe now that like there's popular rappers from that city.
I think it just gave a lot of people hope and then made a lot of people delusional at the same time.
Sure.
Because you can't like try to apply your, you know, if you're not doing something that fits into that musically,
mm-hmm.
then how can you run the same playbook? It doesn't make sense.
So you're an optimist.
Did you think that when, like, you know, St. Louis made it as a city, were you like, well, eventually it'll get out west?
I didn't, man. Honestly, I've always kind of been like, yeah, nobody's going to want it from us. People just have the conception of, you know, the perception of Seattle is like, it's a lot of white people, which it is, and it rains.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all they really know.
The BART?
BART is the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you're thinking of the slut.
The slut. Yeah. The slut is the most worthless train system of all time. But
well, that's misogynistic.
Yeah, there's that, too.
And Pike Market, right?
Yeah, the stupid fish throwing.
Yeah, the fish throwing, yeah.
I get upset when I see, like, a game. I'll be on. Yeah. Like, why do they got to show these assholes throwing fish all the time? Like, who cares? But
it burns them up.
I think we're gonna have somebody else come out of there. I mean, there's a lot of talented kids. It's just, is it gonna fit into what everybody else thinks of Seattle? It's gonna have to be something left to center, like Ben was, good friend Ben.
We don't call him Macklemore. We call him Ben.
Right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's good friend Ben.
Good friend Ben.
Because
sounds like a bear.
When he happened and it turned, you know, he was already really popular, but when it went ape shit. Right.
Yeah, like, Ellen Big.
My Facebook timeline every day was a picture with him and somebody that known him 10 years and decided to take a picture with him, and he'd be like, my good friend Ben doing this, but that just turned into his name for me.
Yeah. The 12th man is the other big thing.
Yeah, yeah, which, you know, I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, but I'm kind of over the 12th man.
You won a championship, and then you're like, you know.
No, they're just a little much, like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like anything. I guess it's cool that we won enough that we have bandwagon fans.
Right.
But I'm such a, like, Seattle losing team follower that I just, like, man, you guys weren't there for the struggle.
Right.
You know, you weren't there when the punter was the MVP the one year, you know, like.
Actually, somebody who has now worked with Future, what are your thoughts on Sierra?
Man, that's a funny one.
Are you torn?
I've made so much more money with Future than I have with Russell
right.
that I'm kind of leaning Future these days. But Russell She's got so us much- a fucking title. You know what I mean? Like, I've waited my whole life to win a title.
Yep.
And, you know, like, I think if Russell wasn't on our team, I'd probably fucking hate him. But I love him because of what he's done for us. And, you know, he's a great
Mayor
player.
Mayor hates him because that's a Big Ten rival. So, fuck Wisconsin.
yeah, I mean,
you can't jump around.
I don't
ever.
Have no animosity toward Wisconsin. That's
it's just Ohio State University.
I save it all for OSU there.
Like, how they feel about Ohio State, that's how I feel about Oregon.
Yeah.
Like, I hate them.
Did you go to UW?
It's pure hatred.
Yeah. I'm a UW graduate.
Congratulations, by the way, on your new men's basketball coach, Mike Hopkins, from Syracuse University.
Is he a good coach?
Amazing.
Because there's a lot of skepticism
really?
Right now.
Oh, you'll be very happy. He's a great guy and a great coach.
Okay,
so.
That's good to hear.
Yes.
Look how Eric just sold you on
it. I know, yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll see. We've had all these NBA players come through the program. We haven't been winning shit, so I kind of get it. You know, I get
improvement
it.
Improvement in the program for sure over there.
But we did lose the number one recruit in the country.
That is
true. Byron Romar. And I watched that kid. I went to like 10 of his games this year.
Whoa.
People were making fun of me saying I was a booster.
Yeah.
That I was going to sign him to White Van Sports. Everybody had jokes, but you know, it's like you see some shit like that every once in a while, you got to go see it.
Oh, real quick. Can you talk about working with my friend Ben is like our friend Freeway.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Great dude. Free is, you know, what's so funny about him. And I always told him, like, when we'd be out doing stuff, I'm like, people need to see your real personality, because he came from an era where everybody had to be super hard and, like, you know, drug dealer, blah, blah, blah. Which, yeah, he was that at one point.
That also,
but that's not how he is in real life. Right. So it's like, he's such a sweet dude. I know that's crazy to say, like, about a gangster rapper.
Right.
But
he really is.
He really is. And he's one of the most original dope rappers of our time. And he doesn't get his credit. But, you know, I always help him whatever way I can. We went around the world, did all kind of shit.
Yeah. And did you guys work together in the same...
We did, actually, yeah. And he actually let me produce him, which, you know, most guys don't want that.
Mayor.
That's the whole reason I got him. I need somebody to produce me.
But, yeah, Free is like, he's definitely like, we're still really good friends. And it's just, I just, like, when I went on tour with Tuxedo, to Europe, we went to some of these same places, and I'm just like thinking of some of the hilarious shit that happened with him and Jay Moore. Actually, Jay Moore was with us, and their little battles they would have, and they'd be best friends. The funny thing I remember about that tour is Free forgot his chains, and he had never done a show without his chain. And there was like a serious debate about this, like on the way to wherever we were going overseas. And then he did the show, and it was crazy. He's like, "Yeah, I guess I don't need the chains.
I can do a show without my chain. All right."
But you know, I just love the way that dude raps, man. Yeah. Like, and I just love how unorthodox he is with his shit.
Totally.
Everybody else is so like, you know, formula, you know, cut copy. You could just throw their verses into any beat, and it's right. All the same shit. He always had a unique thing, and I think he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Also, yeah. The artwork on that project was
A1.
I don't remember the dude's name. It was one of the guys from Ego Trip. Sasha?
Yeah, sure. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, he bodied that.
Amazing.
Yeah, the packaging was incredible, yeah.
So we heard years ago that Rick Ross, when he's listening to new beats, will like do his ad-libs over the beats. Like,
ooh. Like in his own like studio.
Yeah, like Trilla. Like, yeah. Bose.
Yeah.
I was wondering, have you ever been in Rick Ross's house when he's doing that?
I have not. I was supposed to go when we were working on the last album,
he's
but
been
we were
invited many we're, times.
I got invited to the birthday party.
Oh, amazing.
Which I kind of wanted to go to, but we
down
had,
in Atlanta.
Yeah, we had something we had to do.
By the way, that was Black Tie, so you would have totally fit in.
I would have been totally ready.
Yeah.
But we were doing Tuxedo, and I was like legitimately in Japan or some shit. And
right.
I told the engineer, I'm like, I'm on tour. And I think they thought I was lying or something because it just sounds so stupid, you know?
It does sound far-fetched, I'll admit.
It sounded crazy stupid. So then, like, I noticed, like, the homie who's his engineer is following me, and he's like, damn, you guys are killing it. He's seeing the crowd. He's like, you know. But, yeah, Ross is he's probably my favorite rapper. So yeah. He has been for a long time. So I just love that he likes my beats, and He's
a phenomenal rapper.
He hits me every once in a while. It's dope.
That's, by the way, when you said Ross, I definitely thought you were talking about the engineer, and it was like some Jewish kid.
Yeah, Ross. Yeah,
Ross one.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of those too.
Do you guys have any like pre-show rituals, or like how does it go down for you guys? Like,
yeah, like how many prayers do you say?
Well, I've been in many a rap prayer circle before a show, you know, where everybody gets prayed up before they go spit hella misogynist lyrics and lyrics about killing people.
Right.
But we don't really do that much of that. We might do like a little, you know, little hands in kind of thing, you
know. Don't fuck it up. Right.
Yeah.
Appreciate the moment kind of
really
thing.
It's really just, be thankful that we get to do this for a living, and then it's also just fucking have fun, like, which is a really nice thing about Tuxedo is that we don't take it very seriously.
It's all about fun,
like, we take the music seriously when we're making it, but it's all about fun. I mean, it's really just the Tuxedo show is it's a party.
Wow, that sounds like a pit bull.
We have a big red button that goes home.
That's right.
It's like,
who else has that?
Well, congratulations, guys, on the new project. Congratulations on the first project. Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Everything. Your upcoming tour, knowing Pitbull, knowing Snoop, the whole thing.
Yeah.
We don't know Pitbull.
We've never met Pitbull yet.
Like Kodak, you should have a giant like picture just hanging.
We might just have to put his picture in the guest.
That's Pitbull's room.
That's Beyond Your Rider.
I got
the doghouse.
You should just thank him for coming every night on the mic.
He's so good.
That would be really good.
That's almost like the secret. Just like speak it into existence.
All right, delete that from the
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about A Waste of Time with It's The Real, where can they go?
You can always go on iTunes, search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. We are It's The Real. You can also go on SoundCloud.com/A Waste of Time. We are also available on Spotify now.
Hey, if you are on your phone, you can look up A Waste of Time with It's The Real and listen to it on that amazing app. Shout out to everyone at Spotify.
All our friends at Spotify who live in the Spotify house.
That's right.
You can also listen to our music at SoundCloud.com/It's The Real.
Hey, you know what else, by the way? Here's a little secret. I want to stop music right here.
Yeah.
You know where else you can find our music?
On Spotify.
On Spotify. Listen, go search for It's The Real and make sure you subscribe to It's The Real. And then if you want... you can also go to Apple and go check out our music over at iTunes and Apple and that whole thing over there.
Beats Music.
Beats Music.
That's the word we're looking
Nothing
for.
Nothing beats. It's the real on Beats Music. Jeff, you were saying something about Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
I was about to.
Go ahead.
We are on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at It's The Real. We are also on Snapchat, although really we're more Instagram guys.
So really, go to Instagram.
Yeah, go to Instagram. But, you know, we are on Snapchat. You can follow us there. I am It's The Real. Eric is It's The Real Eric.
Or if you are like everybody else, go to Instagram and follow us on stories because, listen, Instagram is eating Snapchat's lunch.
But they did have a great
April Fool's joke. And what was that again?
That was where Snapchat dressed up as Instagram for April Fool's. And I hate April Fool's, but like that was
funny.
That, well, I don't know if it's funny, but it's definitely
it happened.
I noticed it. So every episode, we're always just like, you know, the only way to grow this is to tell a friend, right?
Yeah.
But I think that people don't understand the power of telling a friend. Don't understand the power of commenting or subscribing or any of this stuff. If you want bigger guests, if you want bigger names on this podcast, the way to do that is to comment, to talk about this podcast more, because our numbers are going up, but we need to see more people talking about it.
You're saying the power...
I'm saying the power rests in your hands,
is in the
not
people.
In my hands.
The power is you, people. So, really, go tell a friend. Jeff, you have a friend you want to tell?
I do. I want to tell Jeff Sledge.
Shout out to Jeff Sledge.
Yeah, I mean, he already listens to the podcast.
Atlantic Records, Jeff Sledge, formerly over at Jive Records. He's been on the podcast.
He's been on the podcast.
And he's a listener
of the podcast. In the future, he's Westchester's own.
Shout out to Jeff.
But yeah, no, shouts to him. Just ran into him, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm going to shout him out.
You should go tell your friends about A Waste of Time That's The Real. You know what, Jeff? Let's keep it with Atlantic. I would like to shout out Marcia St. Hubert, who should be on the podcast.
Well, yeah, but she's mad that Jeff has already been on the podcast.
Shout out to Marcia St. Hubert out here doing great work for all of her clients. You guys know a lot of them, and she should be on this podcast to talk about it.
I want to shout out Fraser Kroll from Scotland.
Okay,
who
shout
is
out
sending
to him.
Us some product.
Is that right?
He is.
Okay,
he
well, shout out
already.
To him.
Yeah, shout out to him.
We have not received it.
No.
Okay,
but
well, so
I was
shout out in advance.
Shout out some
we appreciate
European listeners. Shout out to all our friends at Pata.
We appreciate
we wear Pata all the time.
The product that comes our way. Power to the people. Make sure you guys listen to our new music, Teddy Bear Fresh on the Way. Jeff, we'll see you next week.
I'll see you probably right after.
Not for real, for real.
Not for real, for real.
We'll see you next week.